Well, welcome to the Dare to Be Great, Dare to Be You podcast. My name is Sean Langwell, and I am your host. If you like honest, vulnerable, and real stories about what it takes to not only become great, but self-confident and bold enough to be yourself, then this show is for you. Each of my guests started as ordinary people like you and me, but have accomplished extraordinary things in their lives to be considered great, masters, or experts at what they have been called to do. Join me each week or thereabouts for inspiring, encouraging, and meaningful conversations with diverse people from all walks of life and industry. Leaders and brave individuals who offer unique insights into the fields of arts, entertainment, business, finance, technology, healthcare, sports, psychology, recovery, self-improvement, personal growth, and so much more. Whether you are in the same field as my guest or not, I guarantee you will walk away from each episode feeling better about yourself and inspired to take the next bold step toward your own goals and aspirations. Your life will improve if you dare to be great and dare to be you. I have a very special guest today, a gentleman by the name of Aaron Locks. Aaron is the CEO and founder of National Academy of Athletics. I'm going to read a brief snippet of his bio. He's got so many accolades that I could be here for an hour just talking about him, but we're not going to do that today. So he's the CEO and founder of National Academy of Athletics. Aaron has an extensive history of sports administration and instruction. He grew up playing many team sports and as a college player, knows how to compete and what it takes to be a winner on and off the field of competition. He spent the last 40 years in sports. His background includes working with several professional organizations. We're name dropping here, but the Golden State Warriors, Los Angeles Lakers, San Francisco Giants, Oakland A's, all under and as well underneath John Wooden, retired legend, John Wooden, coach of UCLA. I'll let Aaron talk about the exact numbers because his business is growing by leaps and bounds. But in a nutshell, what we're going to talk about today is about confidence and instilling confidence in youth and helping parents to gain the tools and expertise to help encourage and inspire their own children outside of athletics. So Aaron, welcome. This is such a delight to have you on the show, buddy.
Love having it, especially just every time I hear someone trying to explain, you know, the whole deal and call us ordinary people, I laugh because I'm the strangest person on planet Earth, man. So I love it. Whenever you call me ordinary, I'm like, I'll take it. I'll take it.
But, you know, this is Aaron and I, for those who don't know or haven't read 10 Seconds of Boldness, Aaron was kind enough to give me an interview, a good hour long interview when I was trying to shape a book that is all about confidence. And I'm going to thank you on air here because we were talking a little bit before we started recording is you have this ability with your experience and expertise of helping so many kids to just take this all down, take the tutelage that you had under John Wooden. And you're a sponge like me, and you have this ability to distill it down into bite-sized pieces and a slogan that I'll let you say, because you say it way better than I do, that is all about a way to help kids grow their self-confidence. So tell people where you're at and what your slogan is, and just let's jump right in.
Appreciate it. Yeah. You know, I think the best way to explain it, to keep it simple, is that for lack of better words, our slogan is play hard, have fun, right? And that's what it's got to be, the balance of. But it goes to, it's funny, I forgot I got coach behind me, picture of us back there. But the gist of it is his pyramid of success, the way I've learned how to make it through life and everything that we've built on is based upon his philosophy. And the cornerstones of everything we do in life is really the balance point. When you talk to me about what is it going to take to make this happen for folks, I started thinking about it. And I go, you know what? This is it. This is the deal. So industriousness is the one cornerstone and enthusiasm is the other side, right?
And just to interrupt just briefly, because this is audio too, I was going to show a visual, it may be a recorded in video, but he's referring to John Wooden's Pyramid of Success. If nobody's heard it, it's available online. Look it up. Now he's going to explain the two cornerstones, enthusiasm and industrious. Take it away.
Perfect. Yeah. So the Pyramid of Success has kind of been my guiding light, you know what I mean? But to make it as simple as possible, right, for time's sake, industrious enthusiasm. Industrious means you work hard. Enthusiasm means you like what you do or love what you do. Well, if you work hard but don't love what you do, it's going to be boring and and it's going to have limits. Well, if you're playing around and love what you do, but you're not getting anything done, you're not getting anywhere, right? It's only, trust me, my God, when they have both. And I think when you talk about kids and everything we've done, it really is based upon finding that balance. I call it play hard, have fun. Together, those things, kids can do anything.
And you've grown, I mean, this company, you founded this company after coaching collegiate. You were a collegiate basketball player. You're a referee. And you founded it in what, 91?
It's interesting. So my first company, University of Sports, was 91 and had an exit in 2011. Then right. I started this one in 2012. And we are now franchising nationwide, man. It's crazy. So yeah, we're impacting kids' lives in so many ways and coaches. It's awesome.
Awesome. So you know, in line with the show, let's drop some numbers because they keep changing. I think you're over 500,000 kids that you've helped in the tenure that you've had between University of Sports and this, which is just a half. You've had an opportunity with you and your coaches and your team to influence over 500,000 youth across the nation. That, my friend, if you stop today, I'd say job well done. Because what else? I mean, tell us where you're going from here, because I know you're not done. You're my age. You've got the enthusiasm of a 20-year-old and the energy to keep going. So talk a little bit about what your plans are, and then we're going to back into some specifics of what you're doing and what you're teaching and training your coaches, for the simple fact that we want some parents to pick up these tidbits, because it doesn't have to be somebody else just teaching and training a kid.
Right. Yeah.
Oftentimes the parents don't have the coaching or the teaching skills to provide the things that they need to encourage and inspire their kids. And none of us are perfect. Just go to a Little League game and you'll see what I'm talking about. We'll leave it at that.
Right. Well, our mission is really getting solidified, right? Because we're on this path to changing these kids' lives, and we're going to do it in such a positive way. Part of it is through my talk, teach, play training. This allows us the opportunity to transform kids' lives through youth sports, you know, and that's what we're doing. And so with the National Camp Athletics, between 100, almost 200 cities under contract, 36 school districts, you know, the numbers are the numbers. But what we're doing is we're getting a chance to put a positive role model using athletics and sports to teach the life skills that those of us that are, you know, got a little gray hair, we learned back in the day. And so by allowing kids to learn through failure, by creating individual accountability yet opportunity, and all these factors put together through our sports programs, it's taken off. And that's why we're franchising. I mean, literally, we're getting requests for franchises, rolling it out, and we're still running programs from San Diego to Sparks and everywhere in between, man. It's happening.
My goodness. Let's talk a little bit about failure, because this you know, I'm starting to get out there and teach myself. I'm doing webinars and workshops, and eventually it might be in person, but right now it's virtual because it affords the opportunity to reach a wide variety of people wherever they're at. And let's talk about failure, because you and I had a conversation 4 or 5 years ago, and when we went to the Giants game last year, failure is something that is, people are afraid of failure. And they don't need to be necessarily. So let's talk, or have you talk about some of the coaching practices that you instill in your kids and your student athletes to cope with the mental aspect of failure?
Yeah, you know, I want to take a little further because since you and I've talked, you've made me kind of go, you know what, Aaron, you better get even better. So I love that. You've inspired me to take the next step. I just got an interview not too long ago down in San Diego, and we were talking about this. Like, where does my confidence come from, right? I'm just an ordinary kid, a hippie kid from Mill Valley, California, man, right? Just right behind the picture behind you over the bridge. That's where I'm at. So here's the deal. My mom gave me the freedom to fail. There were consequences. There were always consequences, but there wasn't judgment. So if you're a parent out there, if you can find a way, even if you're a coach or a teacher or a leader or working with youth in any way, man, oh man, if you can give that person the freedom to fail or succeed without judgment, right? If you can do that, then I feel like the sky's the limit. My mom passed away in March, and she, thank you, mom, amazing artist, hippie mom, wonderful. And I can remember sometimes I wanted to, you know, so mad when she'd ask, but I would fail at something, whether I got a bad grade on a paper or something happened. And she would say, how you feeling? And I would give her this and that. And she goes, okay, all right, I hear you. What's the lesson? You know, what's the lesson? And I use this all the time in my work with our coaching, with teaching, everything. What's the lesson? And I think what we have to do as parents is remember that failure is truly the best way for our kids to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we talked about this, and, you know, in baseball player, you play 10 years, right? You get out 7 out of 10 times and you strike out half those times, which means 70% of the time you fail. And yet, if you did that, you'd be a Hall of Famer.
I know.
So this is the beautiful part about sports with kids, but we parents have got to allow the kids to fail and figure it out on their own.
And let's push this a step further, because you're closer and more, you're proximal with the parents, I would imagine, when they're registering, whether it's virtually, online, or in person. How do you mitigate, and how do you encourage and coach parents to not be the helicopter? Because I'm going back to my own days of being a base coach and doing the whole Little League thing, and I was just wound way too tight. I wanted to win. I'm a competitive person, and I'd bark and yell at the umps. I got tossed from a game, and I really wanted it. And then at the same time, if the other team was razzing our team, I'd be defensive because I don't want my kid to get hurt. So, you know, baseball season is, we're in the throes of it right now. They're out there practicing for Little League, and I don't want to just use baseball, but it's the season we're in.
Any sport, yeah.
You know, so what advice could you give to parents to either, if they're going to be a volunteer as a base coach or whatever, what can you tell them to make it more impactful without protecting the kids? Let them fail, let them strike out. But what kind of tips could you give? Just pretend you're going to be a manager right now. What would you say?
I'll give you a couple easy ones. And when I do the parent orientations for leagues, I love, you know, kind of telling snippet stories. I try to keep them short. But I would say this is that remember that it's the kid's journey and let it be their journey, right? If we try to live vicariously through our kid and try to make up for whatever, it's going to ruin the experience for them, right? So what we have to do is find that balance point. If you're going to coach, if you're going to be a parent around the game, remember, kids are more in need of role models than critics.
Ooh.
And it's tough. That's a Coach Wooden quote, by the way. More in need of role models than critics. And I think people are as well, but particularly kids, right? And the lesson we want these kids to learn is to fall down 7 times and get up 8. I'm going to tell you a story. My daughter is playing softball when she was 9 years old. And the ball gets hit. And a line drive, one hop, hits her right above the knee and knocks her down. And her mom goes to jump up and get out there. And instinctually, I grabbed her hoodie. I apologize to you for doing this, but I grabbed her hoodie and she went back and sat down. She was so mad at me. But I watched my daughter, and she was laying on the ground like in a push-up position. And she looked up and she had a little tear in her eye, or a lot of tear in her eye. And coach went to walk over and she did this. She goes like this. And she got up and she dusted herself off and she played the rest of the inning. Now, we could have taken that lesson away from my daughter, but she's 20 now. And it's still one of the most proud moments I've had. I got chills thinking about it because she had the wherewithal to realize she was hurt, but not injured. She allowed herself a moment to gather, had the wherewithal at 9 years old to say, I got this, and just do it, right? Now, she did sit out the rest of the game because she actually ended up, you know, and she had a mark this big on her thigh. But man, right? Let's not take that lesson away from our kids. Let's give them that opportunity.
Yeah, and I've heard it said too. I was going to interview for doing something a long, long time ago, and the guy's like, you know, here's my philosophy of teaching and training you. This has nothing to do with athletics, but he says you got to get out there and get your knees skinned. You got to get your knuckles bloody while you're out there figuring it out.
Right.
Talking about insurance and fire and water damage, going to board up the homes when that happens, so that you literally get the call and 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, this isn't for me. But I knew it wasn't for me. Let's talking about your daughter. You've told this story 100 times, I'm sure, but I think it's a very instrumental story just with your own experience. I'm going to bring it down to a personal level here.
Okay.
Take us back to you being 7 years old and Coach Islas and you being afraid. You just lost your mom. It's coming up on a year now. And bring us back to that moment, Aaron, when your mom dropped you off at the baseball field.
You know, it's funny because I literally remember this like it was yesterday. I did call Coach, by the way, yesterday for opening day for the Giants, for the Gigantes, as he likes to call them. But I remember it, man. So when I was 7, I was pretty soft. You know, we did what we could. We were hippie kids. And my mom got a little fed up. So she drove me down to the Little League field and said, hop out. And she said, there's your baseball coach, locked the car door and left. That's how I got introduced to sports. You know, a little, she's like, I'm done. So I go out there, coach says, come over, hey, Aaron, you're, let's do this. And I'm like, all right, you know, I guess, I don't know. I'm probably nervous. My first at bat, within a few minutes, they gave me a bat and a helmet, and they're throwing the ball at me, man. And Sean, I was so bad. I mean, I was not even sure, swinging up, down. It was really bad. And after about 4 or 5 swings, I threw the bat down, threw the helmet down, and I just started bawling. I can't do this. And I hear this voice from way over the side. Are you kidding me? That's unacceptable. And I was like, what? Because no one had ever talked to me that way in my life, right? Now he walks over, he grabs me by the back of the shirt, which of course we can't do nowadays because it'd be a lawsuit.
Right.
But he brings me over, pick up the bat, pick up the helmet, and drags me, walks me calmly to the dugout.
Drags.
I mean, I'm sure. So I sit there, he goes, the helmet goes there, the bat goes there, and your butt goes there.
Yep.
And he explained to me and the same thing. He goes, look, man, who's your favorite player? I said, Willie Mays. Don't you realize Willie Mays gets out 7 out of 10 times, strikes out half of those times? I didn't know all that. Why are you going to be better than Willie Mays? So I use that conversation. I use that training, but I also think about that a lot, man. You got to think about this. I got 700 coaches that work for me now, right? We're
700?
All. Yeah. So we are out there impacting kids' lives in such a positive way. And I love it because I'm taking these college athletes, these kids, and I say kids, you're 18, 20, 25, 30-year-olds, and we're teaching them the life skills of how to give back through sport to these kids. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's thriving. You know, when you ask what's going on at the National Academy of Athletics, we're changing lives through the power of sports in a positive way.
That is, it's so powerful, and you're doing it at the youth level. I'm doing it at the young adult to end of life, everything in between. And, you know, this is one of the things that I just love. You're collaborating with coaches who have a passion for athletics, and now you're teaching them to go give back to the next generation. There's, you can't put a price tag on what we're doing, what you're doing. It's giving back. And it's impacting lives. You've told that story probably, I don't know, hundreds of times, but it still touches you. Just the same stories that I have that I could sit here and talk about, because when we replay them, they become teachable moments.
Right.
They become applicable, not just on a sporting field, but to life, to job search, to relationships, all these confidence things. It's not just about confidence from a performance perspective. It's confidence about being able to stand behind your own values and morals and ethics, whatever those happen to be.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kind of go off script here a little bit, because this is a little more loose than I normally do. But what other areas can you see what these kids could potentially do or are learning? How else might this be applied, or has it come back to you to say, hey, this, you know, a testimonial, how has athletics influenced some of the lives of the kids, if you've heard from them and or
their parents? You know, it's funny because I get so much feedback all the time. If you look at our social media, you see a lot of it, you know, the conversations. But I think what I would say is that if the coaches that I mean, I've got guys that their kids' kids are now coming to camp. You know what I mean? Like generational, which it just means I'm old, right? I've done it a while. But I think there's a stat that I kind of want to talk a little bit about because I think it's really important. I work with Project Play. I'm involved with the Aspen Institute and what they've got going on. And, you know, coming out of a pandemic, kids between third and eighth grade, it's pretty widely known that potentially, approximately, it should take, could take up to 3 years to academically recover, right? To get back to where based, about 3 years, right? But here's the scary part to me. Socially and emotionally, it could take up to 8 years.
My goodness.
Sean, think about this, man. They were pulled out. They weren't allowed to play. They weren't allowed to do. They had to sit at home. Their parents were trying to, you know, it was insane for literally two solid years. So here's the crazy part. Kids that play sports, kids that are in theater, kids that have group activities, FFA, whatever it is that they're involved with other people, that 8 years goes back down to three. And it's amazing, as you know, Joe Montana, not to name drop, taught me fail fast, fail forward, right? So go through the failure, go through whatever it is, and then go to my mom. What's the lesson, right? Come on, mom. But she kept saying, right? What's the lesson? So if we can understand and get our kids involved with sports, you ask me, like, how do you create creative, confident kids? You got to get them getting comfortable being uncomfortable. You have got to get them willing to try new things. Because if they can do that at a young age, they become sustainable on their own. And isn't that our job as a parent, right? To create little people that can go out there and do their own thing. And it frustrates me. My son's doing his own thing in Greensboro around Northern California, but I get it, man. He's doing his thing, right? And that's what we want to do. So that's a big piece of this.
Well, and go, let's go back to that for a second, because our job as parents and even as coaches is to teach kids and instill in them the level of personal responsibility. It's really to prepare, just take it on the parents. We're both parents. To prepare them to make intelligent decisions and respond to the mistakes they make so that they can be self-sufficient and self-sustaining. In this day and age, with especially in California, it becomes incredibly more difficult from a financial perspective. That's a whole conversation for a different day. But by the same token, there's this belief. Confidence is tied to belief, right? We need to be able to believe that we can do something. So what is it specifically that you might do with the kid who's, you know, okay, 7 out of 10 times they know they're going to strike out, but they're batting, you know, 1 for 10 and they're starting to get discouraged. They're doing like what you talked about, kicking the dirt, throwing their helmet down, maybe blaming their teammates.
Yeah.
So how do you do some of these things to kind of lift them up without being condescending or placating them?
So these are simple things in concept and not always easy to do in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One, which I learned again from Coach Wooden, focus on the effort rather than the result. Okay. Only, right? He said, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice does. For me, I'm not so much worried about perfect, but here's what I know. If you have effort, right? Then when you have a child that's putting effort out and you reinforce the effort, they understand not only working towards the goal, they're being rewarded because they're getting their parents' love and encouragement in a positive way, right? For the effort. When I taught my daughter's little girls' basketball team, we said, and by the way, there was, you know, 18 girls on the team and it was a train wreck. There's no way. I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get 10 shots up every quarter. And they're like, and I wasn't worried about how many they made.
Yeah.
I wanted 10 shots a quarter. You know why? Because I figured, you know what? They come down, they're confident, they take a shot. And here's the deal, Sean. Sometimes they go over the backboard and we had a clipboard out. We were saying, that's one. The other team looks like we're nuts. And I go, I don't care because it's effort. Guess what happened? By the end of the season, I figured, look, 4 quarters, 8, 16, 24, 32 was my goal. Well, think about this. 2 because of luck, 2 because of skill, 8 points a quarter. And in little girls basketball, little boys basketball, third, fourth, fifth grade, 32 points can win you a lot of games. We ended up as the most unlikely, but we won the championship because of just philosophy right there. Effort, 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 reinforce the effort rather than focus on the road. So that's the first one that's there. And here's the deal. If I give you something and say, hey, be open and range on balance and let it fly, and you shoot the ball, whether it goes over the backboard or goes in or not, the only thing I can say is good shot.
Yeah.
If I say anything else, I'm not authentic. They don't believe you. They're not going to buy in, and they're done.
Yeah. And that's challenging. So I'm going to take this out of the athletic sports for a moment, because one of the events that I'm going to do probably in the next 3 to 6 months is taking my sales and marketing experience and talking to salespeople about this. But the parallel of what you just said is 100% spot on. Wayne Gretzky said it, you know, the quote, I never made a hundred shots of the goals that shots I didn't take, whatever it happens to be. But it's about opportunities. It's about opportunities to win in basketball. Rebounding is, you know, competing for possession of the ball, as Jerry Sloan used to say. But if you don't pick up the phone, I wrote 10 Seconds of Boldness, Aaron, as you know, because I was scared spitless of making cold calls. And I've been in sales for 25 years, and I had to admit to myself that I don't want to do this.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, everything else in life is really, it's a factor of repetition and the percentages. And as you repeat and do over and over again, you get a little bit better. You're gonna, by doing and putting the effort in, you're gonna improve, right?
Absolutely. Well, and the crazy part is, and this is where I think us parents have to realize, if we model confidence, right? If we encourage risk-taking, right? I mean, if we do these things, I truly believe, you know how I know that my kids could figure it out? When your son, my son, learned to walk, when Mason was going to learn to walk, I didn't have to say, all right, son, we got to practice walking. It's 18 months. It's walking time. He wanted to walk. So he got up and fell down and got up and fell down and got up and fell down. And then he walked because it was his interest to do though. And I really believe, had I not said, no, don't touch the stove, I understand that's important and stay out of the streets important, but if I had not said no, I think he probably would have flown. He could have flied. You know what I mean? Because like, that's where, because they're that's where they're at, their energy, their enthusiasm, their passion for it. So for me, that's the deal. Inspire kids' passion for something, and that's where it takes off. You, again, name dropping, but you know the guy Buster Posey, right? When I was doing the Giants TV commercials and hanging out with them, we were talking about what does it take to give a kid a chance to excel. And yeah, it's drive and it's determination and it's hard work and it's fundamentals. Great. But Buster Posey said it's passion. Help the child find their passion. Understand your child's why and get the hell out of the way.
And going back to business or any new job change or adult stuff or relationship change, it's the same exact model. And yes, what you and I and Coach Steve Lavin and the three other people that I interviewed for 10 Seconds of Boldness, what I did was took your experience, my experience, Lavin's tenure of actually rolling up the sleeves and doing it, and combined all this in together and came up with a five-step plan that is the same. The five steps are the five steps, but implementing them and doing them, it's identify the problem or opportunity, clearly decide what the heck you want to do, which is just goal setting 101. But right, that central hub that moves the whole thing, every single self-help guru in the world will tell you it's the why, it's the passion, it's the hub, it's the engine that moves this.
Right.
So when we get there, then we know why we want to do it and we find that motivation to move forward. And the rest is academic, Aaron. You and I both know that. It's coming up with the plan and working the plan. So,
you know, it's funny, but it's funny to add to this. If you think about it, like in my company, when we have to sit down, I make 20 calls every day.
Do you really?
Every day. Doesn't matter what it is.
That's and great.
Usually 10 are the people I've never met before and 10 are relationship building. And I feel like if I can make 20 calls a day, granted, I'm in the car a little bit, so I make the calls when I'm doing it. But the deal is that I feel like that's my 10 shots, man.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm celebrating the effort And sometimes, hey man, I feel like I'm dating your voicemail, but hey, I'm going to keep trying. Give me a call back when you can, whatever. Just keeping it light, keeping it fun, keeping it real, being authentic. Right now, that's me. Other people got to do what they got to do, but that's the deal. Because again, I'm just shooting, and it's amazing how many times how people say, well, how'd you grow from 3 cities to 200 cities in such a short period of time? It's real simple. I remained relevant, right? I was able to reach out, relatable, right? And guess what else? I was ready. So you know as well as I do, if you made 100 phone calls, cold calls in whatever sales you're in, you'll be lucky to get 6 that are legit, whatever that turns out to be. Mm-hmm. 3 hopefully set up an appointment, and maybe 1 becomes something, you get an opportunity, right? Well, the better you are at the skill, just like learning to shoot a basket, the better you are at that, you whittle down those shots. Instead of being 1%, 10%, 30%, it improves. Yep. But what I think improves, it's not just the skill. It's in your brain, man. It's the confidence. Because now I'll talk to anybody. Remember earlier I said this, and I really, really believe this. Teach your kids to feel comfortable being uncomfortable. Teach them to be alone without feeling lonely. See, these are things that they can learn, in my opinion, that become the groundbreaking opportunities as they get out there in the real world. To me, that's what's missing. Because we're focused so much on academics. I get it. We're focused so much on all these other components, but forget worrying where they're going. Enjoy where they are now. That goes for your staff as well. Teach them and encourage these things, and then watch it go.
Yeah. And I mean, that it's being uncomfortable, get uncomfortable, being uncomfortable. And I'm hearing that from the chief revenue officer of the company I still work at. And it's like, yeah. This stuff doesn't change. Having the theory and having the cute way of saying it to remember it are great. But again, it goes back to effort, to you, to Wooden, to everything. If we don't have the courage to apply the effort, regardless of the outcome, we will never, ever, ever know. Right, Aaron? So, you know, okay. Go back to, you know, when my son did T-ball for the very first time. You may have heard this story before, but it's just a kick in the pants. The kids are 4, 5, maybe 6 years old. Right. They've never held a bat. They've never walked around the bases. They don't even know much about the game, but they know that there's a ball there and they want to try and hit it. And when they finally make the contact, I'd say half the kids, they don't know that they're supposed to run counterclockwise because our minds are set up to go clockwise. So they start heading for third base instead of first base, and all the parents are laughing. So these subtle, simple things to have the fun of this is, you do it enough times, you get to laugh at yourself when you screw up. I've called clients and said, you know, I hate to admit this, but I think I just called you yesterday, but I had 20 calls or 30 calls between now and then. What was your answer? And they're like, yeah, we said no. And I said, oh, okay. And then I go on to the next call. Or they said, yeah, we actually did this. So the other side of this is having a little humility for yourself, a little grace with yourself, not beating ourselves up when we screw up or fall or nick our knees. What other tidbits? Let's go to the parents for a side, because we all want our kids to shine. We don't want our kids to get hurt. But Johnny just had a terrible game. He may have made the error that cost the team the championship. And how, I'm going to be real concrete and specific, because this has the capacity to change the trajectory of a child's life, whether you know it or not, because this memory will be replayed over and over and over and over again in the child's life. So this is an important part that I'm asking you to do right now.
I tell them, I think it's important. Be careful what you say. It can and will be used against you for the rest of your life.
Ooh.
Right? And it's not just what they say. Think about this. If you're up at bat and you strike out, and I put my head down in my hand and I rub my forehead, and I'm disappointed for you, not in you. You as a child see that and don't know the difference, you're initially going to go, I let down my parent, and I don't want to let my parent down. I don't want to continue to play. Right? So we have to find a way to be able to communicate and help build confidence. Now, again, for me, obviously, the more times they're comfortable being uncomfortable and been through situations, one thing that I would do, and you know, I'm a big camp guy and clinics, but I will tell you this, get your kids to learn the fundamentals before they start to play in leagues, right? Because think about this. Okay, if I play on a little league team, and let's say I'm a T-baller, I got one practice a week, and I got 3 weeks of practice, and then I got a game. For the first 3 weeks, it's an hour of practice. It's a parent volunteer, and they're herding cats. They're barely getting the kids. No, put the bat down. Wait, wait, okay, right? Okay, that's what's going on. So 3 hours. If they go to a clinic or a camp for a week, it could be 15 to 30 hours of instruction and fundamentals. They're learning to have fun. They're learning the bat. They're learning what direction to run to the bases, right? They're learning the things so they have confidence and they have the skill, maybe not mastered, but introduced to know the concept is, wait, get the ball, throw it to first, right? Or even, you know, you say that batting the ball is an eighth of an inch of something that's being thrown at you, has to hit an eighth of an inch something you're swinging that has to come at the right time to be success. It ain't easy.
Right.
Right? So by us teaching skill development, fundamentals in a positive way, plus, you know, when we were kids, we naturally played horse against Larry Bird, right? Three, two, one, and we shot, right? Kids need to experience that, whatever that is. So when they get to the game mentally, they've done it before. By the way, those that don't know this, if you are mindful and manifest what's going on with your eyes closed and go through it, your body doesn't know that it hasn't already happened. So the success of experiential learning, when you walk your kids through this experience, walk them through it positively, and let them go out there. And guess what? They're still going to suck. They're still going to fail. And, well, I tell parents all the time, embrace the suck. Keep it simple. Right? And then laugh with the kids and say, all right, you got it. We'll get them next time. And you have to live in that zone.
So there's a couple things there. You're talking about routine and the mental rehearsal. You and I could talk about that for another hour. We're not going to, but there's something I don't remember when I read it, but the first time I understood this whole concept of visualization was somebody who actually rehearsed shooting free throws with their eyes closed, never stepped foot on the court. They knew a little bit about the game and they were visualizing shooting the perfect arc, the perfect balance, the perfect release point, the perfect follow through, and watching that go over the rim over and over and over again with a swish, a swish, a swish, a swish, a swish.
Yeah.
And then they stepped onto the court and they made 9 out of 10 free throws or whatever it happened to be.
Yeah.
So we're coming up at the tail end of this current interview, but you also are gearing up for summer camp season. And let's give people an opportunity. I'm going to do what I can when I get back from my vacation to push this out so you have an opportunity to possibly get a few more student athletes and reach some new parents, because you've done a lot for me. This is the best I can do. It's free marketing with publicity for you.
Appreciate it.
And it's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I care, just like you do, about
absolutely
giving people the tools and skills they need to develop self-confidence, whether they're 8, 9, 10, or 80. We all need it. We all want a sense of belonging. So pretend I'm a parent calling up. I don't know what I want to do. Just direct people to where to find you besides just the website.
What I would say is if you're going to pick a camp, and I would mix it up, you know, don't do the same thing over and over and over again, you know, because repetitive injury and the kids will get bored. So mix it up. But I would definitely say, you know, go to the nationalacademyofathletics.com, find us on social media, you know, check it out, find a schedule. If you're looking for a camp, whether it's my camp or anybody other's camp, make sure you understand, is it a competition camp? Is it a fundamental camp? Who's doing the instruction? Are they background checked? Do they have concussion protocol? All the things, because, you know, some are out there and they just kind of slap together. And the deal is that they're recruiting kids to come play on traveling club, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I'm big on recreation. I want kids to have that fundamental component. They get out there, they learn to fall in love with it. And our goal, just so you know, safety first, And second is they have so much fun and learn the fundamentals, they want to keep playing the sport. And that's the deal. Yeah.
And that's really important. So in terms, I mean, are there limits? What's the time frame? Let's go ahead and just drop that in here too. I mean, is it revolving registration, or do you have a set window when people need to register for at least the summer camps? I know you
Yeah,
do.
So summer camps right around the corner. Virtually every recreation department that we partner with is going to be opening up their registration actually April 1st, so it's go time. Some already have waiting lists and are going to be sold out right away. So I would definitely say if you're interested, you know, find your spots. You can go to nationalacademyofathletics.com or go to your local rec department and find out, you know, what programs they've got. Those are two generally good ones. There's other companies out there as well. Sure. But I'd say register early. Make sure you know the difference between like a full day and a half day camp, right? Full day might be 9 to noon for the little, just to try it out. Don't just immediately throw them in. Now they're going, you know, this huge thing, because it's going to be a negative experience for them, you know, even if they're a lot of energy. Start it out just like anything else. Give them a little bit. Hope they have fun. They enjoy it and build up from there.
Aaron, this is a delight. This is the beginning of many more conversations because our paths are parallel. And as I mentioned before, maybe we'll get to, I got quite a few tickets to the game, so I'll reciprocate.
Let
The
me
favor.
know. Count me in. Yeah.
We're going to go watch a game this year.
Love it.
So anyway, thank you so much for your time and best of luck to you. Go Giants, go Warriors, go athletes, go students, go campers, go National Academy of Athletics, and
go people. Go,
go people.
People.
This has been Dare to Be Great, Dare to Be You. I've been visiting with my good friend Aaron Locks of National Academy of Athletics. Tune in next time to see who's going to be here to join us to just spread a little bit of joy, spread a bit of little love, and spread a little bit of encouragement and enthusiasm to make your life the absolute best it can possibly be. This has been Dare to Be Great, Dare to Be You. I'm your host, Sean Lang. Thanks for listening.